I will quickly recap the high points of the numbers as released, and then I will turn things over to Nels Grundvig, who he and a few other individuals who are here with me will identify themselves. And then after that, we'll open the floor for some questions and answers from the reporters. So before I begin, if we could just go down, there are three individuals here with me who, if you could please identify yourselves quickly.
I'm Andy Peters. I'm the CES analyst, the current employment statistics analyst.
Nels Grundvig, the labor market information director.
Eric Grosso, economist.
Those are all DWD from DWD, and if you need name spellings, I can certainly provide that to you after this call. Okay, so with that, I'll begin. By now, you've seen the numbers. Hopefully, overall, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate for February remains below 7%. For 2 months now, the rate has been at 6.9%, the lowest rate since 2008 in Wisconsin. Our rate also remains well below the national rate, and it has been consistently below the rates of other major Midwest manufacturing states. Through January, our rate was below the rates of Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. In February, Wisconsin added 4,000 private sector jobs and 8,300 jobs overall. This adds to a revised private sector gain of 13,800 jobs for January. Year over year, 12,800 more Wisconsinites are working, according to the latest preliminary data. And over the past year, our state's economy has become more stable following steep job losses. We have turned a corner, and a foundation for job creation has been built, and we are moving forward. With that, I will turn things over to Nels Grundvig, if you would like to talk a little bit about the revision history of some of these numbers, and again, to just to try to put them in the appropriate context as we proceed.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. We've been talking a little bit about the month-to-month numbers, and they have been a topic of interest for a considerable period of time. But as some of you have pointed out in the past, they're not the only indicators of economic change and activity within the state. And in fact, you could argue in some ways that employment numbers are a lagging indicator of what's happening to the economy. And there are other measures that are also important to take into account so that when you look at these month-to-month revisions and changes, that you have a contextual discussion as well. Some of the other measures that people sometimes want to talk a little bit about is sales figures in terms of tax collections, the unemployment claims, that has been going down. The unemployment rate has been declining, although this last month it stayed the same. But again, it has been consistently below the national average. Other kinds of things that can be considered are things like building permits and some of the other types of measures dealing with economic change that show that the economy is far more robust than a single series, as some people would want to make the argument.
Nels, it might be helpful to talk a little bit about how the place of work data is gathered, that the preliminary numbers are based on a small sample, and then further revisions and benchmarking takes place?
Sure. The monthly employment data by industry is a survey of employers. It consists of a sample size of about 5% of the employers that are asked by the Bureau of Labor Statistics to participate. It's a voluntary survey, and about 4% of the total employers report on a monthly basis. So as time permits, they do provide the information. We have a fairly high response rate, but it's one of the reasons why there's a preliminary estimate as well as a revised estimate, because there is time for the employers to put their numbers in. The other thing about the preliminary estimate is not only are you dealing with a smaller subsample, but then that sample is then, because of survey approaches, is then blown up to the population at large. So in any given month, depending upon who is reporting and who is not, the numbers can have a fair amount of variance, and I believe it's plus or minus 9,000 and some change.
9,300 as of this year.
Yeah, 9,300 plus or minus any, and that's for the total. So there is a lot of variation that can happen from preliminary to the revised estimates. And then, of course, we go through something called benchmarking. And benchmarking is an effort to take these the preliminary series against, that's our earliest estimate, then the revised estimate, and then using a more solid numbers from the employers, from the universe of employers that we gather information from, try to reconcile those series. And that happens and is reported in January, and that's why the January press release takes place after the normal process that we would expect. When looking at the benchmarked series to the preliminary, there can be quite a variation between the two. And it's just the state of the affairs is we want to get the information out as quickly as possible, and it is accurate, but it may not be precise. As we get more information, we're able to, through the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they now do those estimates for us, are able to then include more information and make the numbers change.
Right. The benchmarked numbers reflect census activity, actual counts, versus the more so than the estimates, which are based, again, the preliminary on 4% to 5% of businesses. We have a chart that we will send to you at the end of this news release. That will help illustrate graphically the extent of the volatility between the preliminary, the revised, and then the first year benchmark and the second year benchmark as each year undergoes gets benchmarked twice. So at the conclusion of this, we'll provide that to you. With that, we will open the floor to any questions by the press.
Well, may I start? This is John Schmidt at the Journal Sentinel.
Hi, John.
Hey. Couple just quick kind of green eye shade questions. So I'm looking at the revised number for January. It's still a large double-digit thousand increase in the private sector jobs for January. I think it was initially 15,700. Now it's 13,800. Not a big change, but in the initial press release that you guys did last month for the preliminary number, you said it was the largest single month private sector increase since, and then you gave the year. It was a fairly striking number. So now that you've got a new number, what is it? What is it? The highest number since when? Can we update that?
We can certainly track that information down and get that to you, John. We don't have that presently.
Yeah, that'd be useful. Okay.
No,
and when Nils was talking about, I think, the methodology of the employment survey, not to be confused with the household survey, he said something like it becomes a, it's a voluntary exercise, and I think he said 5% of the state's employers end up. Okay.
It's between 4% and 5%, correct, depending on what the response.
Right. Well, the sample frame is approximately 5%, and then on a monthly basis, it's pretty common to have about 4% of the total employers actually reporting their monthly estimates to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, as you note, that creates a margin of error that's plus or minus 9,300. So that means that you'd have to be certain that you know the direction of the numbers, that it has to be more than 9,000, basically.
That is correct.
Okay. on the household survey, roughly, I've kind of wondered this. How big is the sample size in the state of Wisconsin for that? Is that also 5% more or less?
It's around 1,400 households, and nationally it's about 60,000 households that are part of that survey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back and see if I can calculate the number of households in Wisconsin to come up with the percentage for you. But it's about 1,450 households that are in the monthly survey.
Yeah, since you made the distinction on the sample on the targeted sample size of the state employers in the employment survey, they aim for 5% and get 4%. I've often heard that, for instance, nationally, when you talk about 60,000, they aim for 60,000, but they end up with, you know, 50 something or whatever. So if you could get the actual number, that's or maybe 1,400 households is the clean end number that are used and computed. And if you could get that as a percentage, and if you're going to send that out, that'd be great. And I'm done with my questions.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. And, of course, we haven't seen nearly the volatility with the household survey that we've seen with the place of work information. Any other questions?
So Jason Smith is calling from West Politics. So just to check, the overall non-farm wage and salary numbers from January, those were revised down by, what, 7,300?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, hey, as long as you guys are on the phone, and we're talking about the integrity of these numbers, one thing that always strikes me is when you look at state, you break out government workers into three classes, federal, state, and local. And the volatility in the state workers is so dramatic. So you added 4,300, evidently, this month, according to the estimates. Last month, you lost 9,200. Is it just me, or do you guys who are statisticians also get struck by that volatility?
Well, one of the things to keep in mind, particularly for...
Is this Nils? I'm sorry?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
One of the things to keep in mind when dealing with state government, particularly at this time of the year, is state government numbers include student employment. Mm-hmm. And so when we're dealing with the end or the beginning of a semester, those numbers, depending upon when the school year begins and when they actually get on the payroll, those numbers can be wildly fluctuating, and then they'll settle down for the rest of the semester, and then we'll go through a little period of uncertainty because of the volatility. You have to remember, when we deal with these numbers, we're looking at the reference week of the 12th. So if, let's say for the sake of argument, the school doesn't begin their payroll until the 19th, then those students wouldn't be counted on the week of the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to begin on the 15th, then they would be counted. So I usually look at December and January government numbers, particularly state, with a little bit of a jaundiced eye, for lack of a better word.
Because you're attributing the volatility to student employment then, basically.
Generally,
which makes sense.
Generally that is the case, because the non-student employment is a relatively stable environment.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Any other questions?